10. Okay, there is an incident in this week's parsha, in Parsha's Vayechi, where Yaakov passes away, apparently, and right, he seems to pass away, perhaps passes away, and the brothers get nervous, because the brothers know that they're done for, because they figure that Yosef was only tolerating them as long as Yaakov was alive. But now that Yaakov was gone, so the brothers were afraid that Yosef would dispatch them. So they pointed out to Yosef that he has an obligation based on their father's instruction that he should forgive them for what they did. And that was his dying command. Now the problem is, if you look to find that pasuk where that command is, so you don't actually find it. Doesn't seem to be anywhere in Chumash. So the Gemara says, actually, the reason you don't find it is because they made it up. They invented it. And you'd expect that maybe the Gemara would criticize them for that. But indeed it does not. The Gemara in Yevamos actually says that it's permissible what they did. That mutter lushanos ufnei hashalom or bedvar shalom, but it's permissible to change. We'll say lie for now, but the Gemara doesn't use the word lie really lishaka. The Gemara used the word lishanos to change things around. It's permissible to change things around for the sake of peace. That's one opinion in the Gemara. One opinion in the Gemara is that we see from this incident with the brothers of Yosef that you're allowed to lie for the sake of peace. Then the Gemara records a second opinion. That you thought it was mutter to lie for the sake of peace? It's not true. It's not mutter to lie for the sake of peace. But rather, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah l'shanus b'dvar shalom. It's not only mutter, it's obligatory. So those are, that's the second opinion. That second opinion is also based on a story in Tanakh. A story that involves Shmuel HaNavi. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give Shmuel HaNavi the great honor of anointing the new king of Israel, of anointing King David. Who at the time was just David, but would later become David HaMelech. And Shmuel was a little hesitant, because there already was a king at the time, by the name of Shaul. And he has a little bit of a temper. So Shmuel was a little bit nervous that if he's going to go anoint a new king, when there already is a sitting king, so that king probably is not going to take it so well. He says, "Hey, Chelech, how am I going to go do this?" So Vishama Shaul Vahargani, Shaul's going to hear what's going on, he's going to kill me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Shmuel, don't worry, I have a plan. What you'll do is you'll take an animal with you, and then when you run into Shaul, so Shaul will say, where are you going? And you'll say, oh, I'm just going to bring a carbon. That's all. I'm certainly not going to anoint any kings. Certainly wouldn't do that. I'm just going to bring a carbon, and nothing you should get nervous about. So here you have a situation where somebody is lying in order to keep the peace. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole situation. So it seems like from that it's not only permissible, but even HaKadosh Baruch Hu would orchestrate it, it's a mitzvah. So the Rishonim and Achronim do ask on that point in the Gemara that Lechara is not such a great proof. Because it sounds like his lying was not only to keep the peace, his lying was to keep his life, was Pikuach Nefesh. Because he says, how am I going to go? Shaul's going to kill me. So it sounds like he was really worried about dying. So how's that a proof that you can lie to keep the peace? Should be a proof that of nothing. It should be just he Pikuach Nefesh. He was going to get killed, so he could do whatever he has to do in order to save his life. So that's a discussion the Ritva talks about a little bit in the Aruch Lener. In the Sefer Orech Meisharim, which is subtitled Shulchan Aruch Lamidos, I just point out not Shulchan Aruch Lamdos, as it looks like it says Shulchan Aruch Lamidos. So there he discusses that really, it wasn't Pikuach Nefesh. Because however you stand on the whole issue of Shluchim Mitzvah and Nizokin, that there's a special shmira of people who are involved in mitzvahs, certainly here, if you have one specific tafke, Kadosh Baruch Hu was sending Shmuel on one specific mission, so we could rely on the idea that he would make it through alive. So physically, he wasn't really at risk. The only issue was Machlokas, and that was more emotional, And that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's derech is not to change people's emotions, not to change the way people think, so that he needed a plan for, and that was the plan. So that's the second stance in the Gemara, that it is a mitzvah l'shanos b'nei shalom. First opinion is mutter l'shanos, the second opinion is a mitzvah l'shanos. Then the Gemara lists a third opinion. It's not really another opinion, it's more just a statement. And that's something we also read in Sefer Bereishis earlier with Avram and Sarah, that Sarah here, she's going to have a kid, and she's a little bit skeptical. And her reaction is, I'm going to have a kid. You have any idea how old my husband is? You think it's possible that with a husband so old, I'm going to have a kid? And then the next pasuk, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is relating this story over to Avram and says, yeah, so Sarah is not so sure about the whole kid thing. She said something old, somebody's old, and kind of fudged the fact that she said that Avram was old. Made it sound like she was worried she was too old, whatever it was. So it sounds like even HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to change the truth in order to keep the peace. That's the ultimate version. You say everyone does it. Shulchan Aruch says, even God does it. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atzma Asakein, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it, he's also willing to change things around in order to keep the peace. I say that's not really a different opinion. That's more of an emphasis, more of a statement. But the first two opinions we have, it's either Mutter L'Shanos, or it's a mitzvah l'shanas b'dvar shalom. It's either permissible to lie, or it's a mitzvah. So what exactly is that all about? So what exactly is it that suspends the principle we normally have that we generally discourage lying? Right? We generally believe honesty is the best policy, that midvar sheker tirchak is a popular pasuk. So what is it that's going on here that all of a sudden when it comes to shalom, so we see that sheker, some type of sheker is not only permitted, but might even be obligatory. So how exactly does that work? So there are two different angles one could take in explaining how that works. On the one hand, so you could say, there is a pasuk in Sefer Zechariah, that's the pasuk that talks about the Tanesim. Right, the pasuk that we are familiar with from Zechariah, because it quotes the talks about Tzom HaRaviv, Tzom HaChamishi, etc., etc. The pasuk makes reference to all the Tanesim. So it says all these Tanesim will eventually be Yamim Tovim, and the pasuk ends V'ha Emes V'ha Shalom Ehav, and truth and peace are beloved.
Just going back to the three things in Gemara.
Uh huh.
When we say that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it, does that mean therefore it definitely isn't us, or that's why it's a mitzvah, or it's a third category?
It's a good question. I don't know if the third statement is really adding a new din at all. It seems to just be an emphasis to the whole.
Is it bolstering the other two?
Seems like it is. I don't know if it has any ramifications, l'halacha. It may have a little bit as far as figuring out what that story was. It may impact another thing, we'll talk about that. But in any case, the pasuk in Zechariah seems to tell us that our emes v'ashalom ehavu, that truth and peace, those seem to be the two pillars of life. So maybe you could say that ideally, a Jew will live his life by both these pillars. Truth and peace, those will be his two guiding stars in life. But the mice, you don't have total control over the world, so sometimes you're going to have a steer. Sometimes it's going to happen. It's going to have to be one or the other. So what do you do then? So you could say, well, maybe they're equal. Maybe truth and peace are equal. So therefore, it's legitimate to pick one or the other. That whichever option you take is legitimate. You could choose to lie. It's mutter l'shanos, because peace is as important as truth is. Or you could choose to tell the truth. And the implication is mutter also, not l'shanos. You could choose to tell the truth because you could say the truth is as important as peace. So that could perhaps be the hesber. If you say mutter l'shanos, if you say it's permissible, it could be because you believe that you have these two values and they're pretty much equal, and you have a right to choose one or the other. They're both legitimate options. Then you could argue which one is better. A lot of svarim discuss. Rav Shapansky, who passed away, he was the editor of the Ora Mizrach, so he has a whole essay about what exactly is more important. The Maram Shik, he quotes Perkei Avos. Maram Shik had a perspective that Emes is more important. A lot of sources seem to indicate that Shalom is more important. There is a vort that the Chassidish Sfarim have that the point. You can also find this in the Sefer Iyim Bayam in the Seches Ksubis in the second parak. That it's also found on the Chassidish Sfarim. That the Gemara says in Shabbos that Chotzamto Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emesu, that the seal of God is truth. So you might say, okay, truth's a pretty big deal. And that would seem to give that kedimus. That would seem to make truth the number one thing. But there's also an earlier Gemara, that's what the Sfarim point out, the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Yud, that says that you're not permitted to say the word Shalom in an unclean place because Shalom is a Shem Hashem. That has nafkamina halacha. That's why some people don't write out the word Shalom. It has a certain kedusha to it. So these Sfarim then suggest that yes, truth is the seal of God, but Shalom is the name of God. And the name beats the seal. The seal is only representational, but the name, that's the essence. So if you have a conflict between the name and the seal, so the name wins. All right, so that's that whole debate. What is actually more important? Are they really equal? Or is one more important than the other? So that could impact on the second opinion. The second opinion in the Gemara is not that it's permissible, not that it's an option, but it's a chiyuv. Mitzvah l'shanos. So what could be the explanation of that idea? Why would it be a mitzvah l'shanos? So that you could really say two different ways. On the one hand, you could say, like we were saying in the first possibility, that really you have basically a clash of values. On the one hand, you have the imperative of keeping the peace. And on the other hand, you have the idea of emes. And they're in conflict, so something's got to win. So either you could say they're equal, and therefore it's mutter, like we just said, or you could say that shalom wins, and therefore we say mitzvah l'shanos, that it's more recommended that you absolutely should fudge the truth, because shalom is decided to be more important than truth is. So that's one way of saying it. Maybe you could say that it's a mitzvah l'shanos because we give more importance to truth, to peace, I'm sorry, than we do to truth. Alternatively, you could say a completely different way. You could say that it's not that there's a values clash here. It's not that I got this versus that and I got to decide which. But maybe we have to figure out a little bit more what exactly are the boundaries of the prohibition of sheker. If the Torah says, midvar sheker tirchak, it's kind of a funny language. Right? Normally, when the Torah wants to aser something, so it has languages to do that. The Gemara says, is for l'shonos of iser, nisham, or pen, a couple of words which the Torah uses when it wants to prohibit something. So what does it mean, tirchak? So, tirchak, you see, the Farshim vary widely on how exactly to translate this word. There are those who take this as a more severe type of prohibition, that normally if the Torah wants to prohibit something, it says don't. And here, the Torah says not only don't, the Torah says stay far away. Alternatively, on the other extreme, you have the Farshim who take it to be a much lighter concept. That if the Torah really wants to ask for something, it says don't. And here it says, stay away. So it's a big question, what exactly are the boundaries between sheker tirchak? There is some room to suggest, based on the Gemara in Shavuos and Daf Lamed, there the Gemara has a lot of drushes on mitzvah sheker tirchak, but they're all in the context of Bezdin. So one could suggest that sheker is really similar to perjury. Right? In American law, if I'm going to lie, so as long as I'm not defrauding you or committing some kind of other crime at the same time, if I'm just going to say something that's not true, so you don't go to jail for that. That's not a federal crime. But if you're going to lie under oath in court, then that's perjury. That is a crime. You can go to jail for that. So it could be that midvar sheker tirchak is the same story. That a lie, a normal lie every day, that's certainly discouraged. A lot of other psukim in Tanakh, again, we are pro-honesty. That is generally a positive midah. But it could be that that's not the prohibition of midvar sheker tirchak. It could be that midvar sheker tirchak is primarily focused on a bezdin setting. That's one possibility. And others have suggested, among them the Sefer Yireim, that midvar sheker tirchak only applies when you're hurting someone with a lie. If you're going to cause somebody some damage by lying to them, that's what midvar sheker tirchak entails. But stam, to say something that's just not true, so that could be discouraged from a lot of other reasons, but that's not a prohibition as far as midvar sheker tirchak. So if that's the case, so you don't really have a values clash here. You have a mitzvah to keep the peace. And up against it, you have nothing. So it could be that it's mutter, or at least no prohibition of any substance. So it could be that it's mitzvah shamtei shalom, not because shalom overwhelmed truth, but because there wasn't really any opposition. So that's basically the question we want to figure out here. Then how exactly how exactly do we understand this idea that he's permissible to lie for the sake of peace, or it's a mitzvah to lie? Is it because it's a clash of values, truth versus peace, and peace wins? Or is it because there's no clash at all, because there isn't really a prohibition of sheker in this case? Right? To give a mashal, let's say somebody is sick on Shabbos. So you call the doctor. Pikuach nefesh docha Shabbos. You call the hospital, you call the doctor, you drive in the hospital, do whatever you have to do. So let's say somebody is sick on Tuesday, so you do the same thing. But what is this lying, what's it comparable to? Is it comparable to saving someone's life on Shabbos? When, without even getting into the whole discussion of Hutchud Dechuyah, but just on its surface, that it's like saving someone's life on Shabbos, when on the one hand you have Shabbos, but on the other hand you have Pikuach Nefesh, and Pikuach Nefesh wins? Or is it like saving someone's life on Tuesday? There's nothing stopping you. There's no prohibition. So what exactly is the mechanism here? So this could affect a number of issues. One issue that might be relevant is the question of how indeed do we paskin? Do we say it's mutter l'shanos, or do we say that it's a mitzvah l'shanos? So that seems to be not only a question of Gemara, it seems to be a question of Rishonim also. Because a number of Rishonim ask, the Gemara in the second parak of Maseches of Metziah has a discussion in relation to the din of Hashavas Aveda. The halacha requires that if you find some lost property, so you're mechuyev to return it, but you don't just return it stam. You have to make sure they're giving it back to the right guy. So a guy says, yeah, you found a watch, I lost a watch, so you can't just give him back the watch. You have to ask him, well, what did it look like, and where did you leave it? You have to ask him for simonim. That's the din in the Torah, you have to ask for simonim. But the Gemara says that there are exceptions, that if a person is a Talmud Chacham, so then you can give it back to him b'tvias ayin. He can say, oh yeah, let me see it, yeah, that's it, and you can give it to him. So when we say Talmud Chacham here, we don't necessarily mean specifically a Torah scholar per se, but we mean somebody with a reputation for honesty. So a person who is known to be an honest person, so the Gemara says that you can trust him. If he has a reputation that he's an honest person, you can trust him that it's his watch. So the Gemara in that context says that there are three areas in which a person could lie and he'll still hold on to his reputation. He will not lose his reputation as an honest person if he lies in these three areas. And each one is subject to a little bit of discussion what it means. I'm just going to take the most popular interpretation of each one, but they're all a little bit of a discussion. One, the Gemara calls Achsenoi, that if somebody gives you a great steak, so you're allowed to misrepresent that to other people because you're protecting him, because perhaps he doesn't want the whole world knocking at his door every time he has dinner. Mesechta is another one. Mesechta, again, it's a little bit of a question we've shown him how to understand it. The mainstream understanding seems to be that if you want to lie about how much you know in order to be more modest, you don't want to show off, you want to say you know less than you really do know, so that's apparently also permitted. And again, some Rishonim understand that idea a little bit differently. I think I mentioned here before that many years ago, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, spoke in Tinek, and the rabbi of the shul gave him a big flowery introduction, Karoi, and afterwards Rav Aaron got up, and he said, they told a story about the Beis HaLevi and his son Reb Chaim and his other son. The Beis HaLevi had a brother. And Reb Chaim had a practice that if he didn't want to get into a fight with somebody, somebody wanted to hack him and he wanted to get into a fight, Reb Chaim didn't want to get into a fight, he'd say, I didn't learn that Masechta. I can't argue with you, I didn't learn that Masechta. So the brother used to do that also. The brothers thought that was a good idea. So he was also telling people he didn't learn that Masechta. So the Beis HaLevi, the father of these two, so the Beis HaLevi said to the brother, says, that thing that you do where you say you didn't learn it, you shouldn't do that. So the brother said, but Chaim does it. You don't stop him. So the Beis HaLevi said, yeah, but when you do it, they'll believe you. And so Rav Aaron said that he was just got this introduction from the rabbi. He says he's not going to argue with the introduction because he was afraid that people would believe him.
Many Rishonim say that if someone asks you a shiloh, uh-huh, you're not allowed to lie. It's only just stop if they're asking.
I think here he's talking about he's attacking in Pilpul. The guy wanted to dray.
There's no shame shiloh.
Yeah. Chaim didn't pass in shiloh. He had a posek and burst to pass in shiloh. So, in any case, right, so that's what it sounds like from the Gemara, that you're allowed to lie. Here, this is even more specific. Here's Reb Chaim was lying for Shom. Let's say you want to lie, again, the way most Shom seem to understand, let's say you want to lie for modesty, so it sounds like it's permissible. And the third example is Puraya, which, again, on its surface seems to mean bed, seems to be a reference to the relationship between a husband and wife. The Maharsha has a very different interpretation. If you look at Marshon and see, he understands it as pariah as in Purim, right? Chayv mishlim v'sumei pariah. If somebody asks you if you got drunk on Purim, you can lie about that. But in any case, you have these three categories, which the Gemara says that you're allowed to lie to the case of for different purposes, and it doesn't get in the way of your reputation. Hi. Yeah, I don't understand exactly how the Marshal works. The Marshal is not the most popular way of understanding it.
I've already reached the point of drunkenness.
So let's people won't press you to drink. Okay, could be. So Rishonim ask, the Rush, the Riff, they ask, well, wait a minute, there's something missing from this list. What about Sholem? You're allowed to lie for Sholem. How come the Gemara doesn't give that as an example? Now, some Rishonim or some Achronim understand that all these examples really are subsets of Shalom. You know, that the Gemara is not omitting Shalom. These are different versions of Shalom, like the whole Reb Chaim story is an example of Masechet of Nehas Shalom. And maybe all these ideas are really to keep the peace. But the Rush and the Riff answer a little differently. The Rush says that no, Shalom's not on this list because it's obvious. Shalom is a mitzvah to lie. So the mitzvah to lie, you're not going to have a havamina of it. You're not allowed to do it, and it's going to make you dishonest. This Gemara is only talking about options. But Shalom, that's a mitzvah. So there, the Rush seems to clearly paskin that by Shalom, it's a mitzvah to lie. Well, the Rambam sounds a little different. The Rambam in two places, in Geneva Vyaveda and in Deis, so the Rambam uses the word mutter. And one could suggest that they seem to be debating this point, that maybe the Rambam holds there is a clash of values, that there is a prohibition of Sheker and there is a mandate of Shalom that are fighting against each other, and they're both legitimate choices. While the Rush is going to say there's no realist or Sheker, and perhaps there's no realist or Sheker here at all, and therefore Shalom is the clear winner. And this affects other issues also. If you look at that Rambam, you see it's relevant to this. Poskim talk about the question of, it's interesting, the Gemara doesn't use the word l'shaker, right? The Gemara doesn't use the word to lie. The Gemara uses the word l'shanos. L'shanos certainly has a milder connotation. It sounds like to change, you know, to fudge. It sounds like the Gemara is staying away from really saying lying. So that's a question in Poskim also. When we say you're allowed to lie, does that mean that you can really just lie? Just say whatever you want to say? Or should you try to maintain some structure of truth which will still be deceptive and would still not be appropriate without a good motivation, but it won't really be a straight-out lie. And that, by the way, I mentioned earlier, but when you were asking, does the Avram and Sarah example play any role in halacha? It may play a role here also. If you look in the Mefarshim there in Chumash, in the Arachayim, I think, and other Mefarshim on the page in the Makros Gedolos, so you see they try to interpret the Gemara, they try to interpret the Pasuk really in different ways, that there isn't really an outright Sheker there. And one could therefore assume that they relate that to the overall question of how appropriate is it to really lie. But this is in general a Shaila. And the Rambam, again, the Rambam seems to be taking a stance that you shouldn't really lie outright, because Rambam doesn't use the word even lashanos. Rambam says lahosif ulegroa, you know, to add, to take away. It has a connotation of to modify, you know, not to really say black is white and white is black. And so that's a discussion which probably also relates to this issue. The Chavetz Chaim, if I'm not mistaken, the Chavetz Chaim basically paskins that, you know, try to keep everyone happy. Basically, that really, if you can, so try not to lie straight out. And try to avoid lying, and try not to lie straight out. But the mice, if you have to, you're allowed to do whatever you have to do. You know, he's not going to answer lying straight out. But if it's avoidable, so it's better. This seems to be his perspective, halacha l'maisa. So this probably affects a number of other issues also. One of the more famous gemaras that is relevant to the sugya is the gemara in the beginning of the second parak of Ksuvis, right, which we're all familiar with from weddings. What's the proper method for dancing in front of the kala? So the Rambam says, the Gemara says that opinion of Beis Hillel, that you say kala nova chasuda, you say she's a beautiful kala. Now if the bands would have their way, so that would be the only opinion you'd know about. They don't sing the rest of the Gemara, but there is another opinion. Right, the other opinion is the opinion of Beis Shammai, that look, the Torah says midvar sheker tirchok. Maybe you're not so impressed. Maybe you don't think she's so beautiful, so you're going to say Kal Nava Chasuda and you don't really believe it. So isn't that a problem of Sheker? So, contrary to what people might think, the Beis Shammai certainly does not advocate standing there and singing ugly Kala, ugly Kala. He says, you say Kala Kamoishi, you say something something true, nice personality. You say something something you believe you can get behind. But you don't say something that's not true. So this is a Gemara. It's very relevant to this. You look at the Mefarshim and Shulchan Aruch and Ebn Ezra, and it's quoted. You find a lot of discussion about the parameters of lying. But there is just an interesting point. It's discussed later in the Sefer Koich VeYitzchak by Yitzchak Sternhill. So he points out that L'chara, so we know Beis Shammai is always portrayed as big machmir in Shas. So Beis Shammai, so he's firmer than God. There's no opinion in the Gemara that says you're not allowed to lie. Right? We have you're allowed to, you have to, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself does it. So where does Beis Shammai fall in that? So where does it say that you're not allowed to? So Beis Shammai is firmer than God? What exactly is going on there? So the Koich VeYitzchak explains that the word of Beis Shammai is Beis Shammai lived a very long time ago, before there were video cameras. So it wasn't pshat that Beis Shammai would go to a wedding, or the people in Beis Shammai would go to a wedding, and people would come out with a video camera and stick it in their face and say, "Nu, what do you think of the kala?" And you know they weren't able to go to the bathroom in time. You know, they didn't see the guy coming. So if that were the case, so Beis Shammai would agree that if somebody comes and puts a camera in your face instead of say something. So you say what you have to say. You say kala nava chasuda, of course. But Beis Shammai is basically holding that normally nobody asked you. So if nobody's asking you, so why should you volunteer something you don't believe? Nanyach, yeah, for sure, if there was a threat to Shalom and you had to lie to save the Shalom, so of course Beis Shammai would acknowledge that it's mutter or it's a mitzvah or whatever. But here, there isn't a threat. Nobody asked you. So it comes out that therefore, what's the position of Beis Hillel? So it must be the Beis Hillel holds that even when you're not up against the wall, but you want to take a proactive measure, you want to take a preemptive strike to keep the peace, so that is still permissible also. So that would also seem to be this major issue, that do we believe that there is an Isser Sheker here, and we want to show some loyalty to that, and therefore you'd only lie if you absolutely have to, or do we say that no, there really isn't an Isser Sheker at all, and therefore, even if it's preemptive, even if you're not absolutely up against the wall, so there's still a permissibility to do this. You find another couple of other cases where this kind of thing comes up. For example, the Shuvas Yad Eliyahu writes, you know, that you shouldn't make it a habit, that you could lie once in a while, but you shouldn't let it happen too often. That also maybe seems to indicate that there is some Isser of Sheker there. There's also a comment that if you look in the Sefer Tov Roi, it's a collection of different comments that Rav Kook has on Shas. So in the Tov Roi to Maseches Ksubis, the second parak, so there he quotes from somebody anonymous that we know that we have an idea, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deis, that in every area of life you're supposed to take the middle path, the Derech HaMemutza. You're not supposed to go too far to this side, too far to that side. But there is an idea, from the Vilna Gaon, from the Rambam, that if you have to fix a midah, if you have a problem, you are at one extreme of a midah, so it is appropriate for some period of time to go to the other extreme so that you will balance out. Okay. So, therefore, this anonymous Chacham said that if a person has an issue with honesty, he has to deal with his problem with being honest, so then he should not avail himself of this idea of Mutta L'Shanos. That Mutta L'Shanos, that's only for people who are normal. But somebody who really has to work on his honesty, so he shouldn't do this. So Rav Kook himself disagreed with this, and he said, look, this is not a place to be from. That it's not a, you know, you have a Chiyuv L'Shanos, basically. And therefore, that's what the Halacha requires of you, and it's not proper to say, here's where I'm going to start my self-improvement program at the expense of Shalom. So it would seem like this Chacham, who was suggesting it, basically believed that there is an Isser Sheker, and that it may be that the average person, the Cheshbon might work out that they should lie, but for a person who really has to work on Sheker, so maybe the Cheshbon comes out differently. While Rav Kook was saying, no, there really isn't any Yitzhak Sheka here at all. There's just an imperative to keep the peace. And therefore, it's not an appropriate place for you to be machmer on yourself at the expense of Shalom. You find it also, there's also Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva, he has 9 different levels of Sheker. It's a little hard to understand exactly what the distinction is between some of them, but he has 9 different types of Sheker. A Sheker where you're getting a profit, Sheker where you're just having fun, Sheker where it's just pure dishonest statement but nothing else involved, Sheker where you're defrauding someone, Sheker where you're hurting someone. Some of the categories are similar to each other, but he basically has 9 categories of Sheker. And Rabbeinu Yonah says, and Knevis Das is one of them, and Rabbeinu Yonah says that they're not all permitted with B'nai Shalom. The only type of Sheker that's permitted B'nai Shalom is where that's all there is. It's just Sheker. It's not going to hurt anyone else. It's not going to defraud. There's no Knevis Das even. Any of those other categories, so Shalom doesn't permit. So it seems like Rabbeinu Yonah does see the real presence of Mr. Sheker here. And it's only in a very pure case where Shalom's going to win. But in other cases, it's not so pasha. There is one contemporary tshuva which seems to take a different stance on the Gnevis Das issue. In the tshuva is Shevet HaKahasi. He discusses the question, if you have a certain Talmud Chacham who is poor, who needed money, and his friend was in charge of a fund to give to poor Talmud Chachamim. The problem was, he knows that this Talmud Chacham is poor, is very proud, and is not going to want to admit that he's poor. And therefore, if he's going to come and say, hi, here's $100 from the Save the Poor Talmud Chachamim fund, so he's not going to take it. So he figures that instead of that, since they're having to be friends, he'll say, listen, we're friends, and I've always appreciated what you do for me, so here, take $100 of my own. And, or at least he gives the impression that it's his own. And doesn't tell him that it's from the fund. So that's really a Gnevis Das issue, because...
Doesn't the Rambam say that that's the way you're supposed to give?
The Rambam say you're supposed to give as if it's your own money?
No, as
see, here the difference is that he's giving money from a fund that he's in charge of, but he's letting him think that it's his money. Right, so that's the thing. It's that he's letting him think that the money that he's giving him doesn't come from the fund, that comes from himself. So that's really a problem of Gnevis Das, because you create a certain gratitude which you didn't really earn. That's pretty much the definition of Gnevis Das. And if you make somebody feel a certain way to you inappropriately, you didn't really deserve it. So that's a problem of Gnevis Das. And that is what the and that's what's going on here. And yet, the Shevet HaKahasi says, "Well, Gnevis Das type of sheker, and it's mutter l'shaker b'nei Hashem, mutter l'shach b'nei Hashem." So therefore, it's mutter.
Well, that's what I was referring to. Every tzedakah, according to the Rambam, you're not supposed to give it as tzedakah, even though you really mean it for tzedakah.
Right, but there, at least we're talking. Either way, it's coming from you. Here, he's taking money. That's,
no, I'm saying in economics, it's still right. Wouldn't that be Gnevis Das issue?
Not so much, because there, at least, you know, you're not pretending that you're giving something that you're not really giving. Here, he's pretending that he's giving him $100, but it's not. He's not losing anything. He's getting it from a fund. So the guy's going to have a certain gratitude to him. Oh, wow, you gave me $100 of your own money. And really, he didn't. So that's, you know, you would be much more grateful to me if I gave you money for myself than if I just handed you money somebody else gave me to give to you. So if I want somebody gave me money and said, give Belazon this $100, and I give it to you and say, hi, I've decided to give you $100 of my own money, so that's going to be this das, because you're going to think that, oh, I did you this big favor, and I didn't. I just didn't cost me anything. So that's the Gnevis Das issue here. Sorry?
What was the Lashon?
Which?
Mutter
L'shanos?
He's
just quoting from the Gemara. Right? The idea that since... Yeah, B'nei HaShalom. B'dvar HaShalom in the Gemara. Because he doesn't want to get into a whole fight with this guy. He doesn't want this guy to...
He
could be embarrassed. He wouldn't take it. They'd argue. The whole thing is way it's simpler. Just do it like this. There'd be no hurt feelings. There is also an interesting comment that Chasam Sofer has in his commentary to Masechta Shabbos. That the Chasam Sofer says that we know that there's a chiyuv to keep a clean body while wearing tefillin. So the Chasam Sofer writes, it doesn't just mean physically clean. It means spiritually clean also. So what does that mean? He says you shouldn't lie when you have tefillin on. Okay, shouldn't lie ever. He says no, that even if they have shalom. And somebody comes up to you and says, yeah, how do you like my new suit? So you're wearing tefillin, so you have to say, hold on a second, and you take off the tefillin, and then you lie. So it seems like the Chasam Sofer believe that there is a chafetz of sheker here. It's not like there's no sheker because it's shalom. But there is sheker. Just shalom normally would be competing with it. But since there is sheker here, it's offensive to the tefillin, and so even with Nehash Shalom, it's not appropriate to do it with tefillin on. So it sounds like you're allowed to talk. Right, so assuming that we're talking about lying in a non-varm talum subject. I think somebody pointed out once before that that you should say, well, I'm not going to have to talk sikha b'teila with filling on, that's what you should answer him, but that would be a lie.
Yeah.
Right? So, that's a point to that. All right, in any case, so just pretty much to finish off, to the last stage, so there is a position the Magen Avraham quotes. So the Magen Avraham is normally very authoritative, but this opinion is disputed in later sources. It's a big question whether or not this is acceptable halacha, we're about to say, even though it does appear in the Magen Avraham. But the Magen Avraham quotes the following din from the Sefer Chassidim. And again, a lot of later tshuvas question whether or not this din is true l'halacha. But here, if you live in Washington Heights, or if you live in Yerushalayim, so you know that once every few years, somebody may approach you on the street and ask you for money. So what's the minig? What do you say?
I don't have.
Right? So is that always true? Everyone's always penniless every time they run into these people? So we seem to have a general assumption that it's mutter because I'm not going to get into a fight with him, and it's Nehash Shalom, and all right, so I'm going to tell him I don't have any money. The problem is, Sefer Chassidim says you're not allowed to do that. Why? I don't we say mutter l'shanat Nehash Shalom? So he says, yeah, that's only true about things in the past. But things in the present or things in the future, so that you can't lie about. It's very hard to understand din. So a lot of Achronim point out, a lot of kashas in that din, you know. Kalanova Chasuda, Masechta, these are all present things. So they give different teruts, and they basically, the approach a lot of Achronim take is that basically Chazal had to limit it. That if they were going to say that you could lie about anything, so you could make anything somehow become Bifnei HaShalom, if you're going to expand it to the past, present, future, everything will somehow become because of Shalom. And the whole Isser Sheker would totally fall away. So there had to be some limitation on it. So he says it should only be on things that are in the past. And also, what about Masechta? Well, that's Mishum Anivus. Anivus also is not such a Mishal. Different answers. I was thinking maybe you could say a different approach that would work out. Then maybe what the Sefer Chassidim really means is that really there is an Isser Sheker here. Okay, so how does that affect things? It affects things in the following way. That yes, you're allowed to lie if you have to keep the peace. But that's only true if you only have two choices. Fight or lie, so better to lie. But let's say you have more than two choices, which is the case here. Right? On the one hand, guy comes and asks you for money. So you have three choices. You could say, no, I don't have any money. That would be the lie. You could say, yes, I actually have hundreds and hundreds of dollars in my pocket. However, I consider you to be an extremely untrustworthy individual, and I have no desire to give you any of my money, and you are six times my size. So that could start a fight. Right? So choice number one is you could lie. Choice number two is you could start a fight. Choice number three is you could give them the money, which is neither a lie or a fight. Now, that may not be at the end. The passive lie. So, that may not be the most attractive choice to a lot of people. And Chanami, again, it's very questionable whether or not it's true halacha. But maybe that's what he's saying, that you can lie as long as it's in the past. What do we mean by the past? We mean the facts are set. You can't control the situation, so you have two choices. Either I got to present the situation as it is, which is going to be a fight, or I'm going to lie about it. So then you could lie. But if you have some control over the situation, it's not totally in the past, it's not totally set, so then you have to exert that control. And different these other kashas, and that's your problem. So Masechta, you're going to unlearn the Masechta now? No, it's done already. Kalanova Chasuda, what are you going to do? You're going to do plastic surgery right then? It's not Shaykh, right? So that's also considered to be in the past. But normal scenario where you have only two choices, it's set in the past, so then it's appropriate to lie. But if you have a third choice, it's better to take the third choice than to either lie or start a fight. So maybe that's what the Sefer Chassidim is saying. In other words, really showing that there is still an Issa Shekin. Okay, so just to quickly chaz what we spoke about, so you mentioned that the Gemara has... Right, a lot of latest farm disputed that may not be lahalacha.
Sorry? But don't lie with
tefillin. Right, that's probably kedai not to shmuz with tefillin at all. Let's see. As far as what? Lying, pashas, that's actually a whole separate question within lying, which is a whole separate discussion. Do you say that lying is a ben adol machaveru kind of concept? Or do you say that it's an isur? Sorry? Right, you say lying yourself is ben adol machaveru concept. Do you say that it's also that it's a din in midos? It's always inappropriate to lie. That is far mechaker. If I'm not mistaken, it's a Taliezer is a truth about that. I think also in that sefer, Ian Biyam has a discussion about this also. You have to figure out exactly what the hagdara of Sheker is, assuming that there is an issue. Just to quickly chaz that we spoke about, so mentioned the Gemara says that from the story of Yosef's brothers that it's mutter l'shas b'nei shalom, and the second opinion of the Gemara from the story of Shmuel is that not that it's mutter but it's a mitzvah, and the third opinion from the story of Avram and Sarah is that even HaKadosh Baruch himself does it. And we discussed that there could be two different ways to understand this whole idea, that if you want to say mutter, so pashas is a clash of values between emes and shalom, and they're roughly equal. But if you want to say mitzvah, then you get the two ways to say it, that maybe there's a clash, but shalom wins. Or maybe there's no issur sheker at all. The sheker is only destructive, or it's only embezzling, or whatever it is, whatever reason, no issur sheker at all. And since there's no issur sheker, even though it's normally kedai to be honest, but if it's up against shalom, then it's not a contest at all. And this question of how do you paskin mutter or mitzvah, so that seemed to be a machlokus rishonim also, that the rishonim and the Gemara above Metzias seem to understand that it's mitzvah lishanos, and the Rambam seemed to give the indication that it's mutter, and this would also perhaps affect the issue of whether you can just lie straight out or whether you should just try to fudge things. That also the Rambam seemed to say you should fudge things. And that's also negated to the Avraham and Sarah story, what exactly was going on there. And this is negated a couple other things, whether you should be makbir not to make it a habit, or whether you should take a chupa on yourself a chumrah if you're trying to work on honesty, whether there's an idea not to lie not shalom with tefillin on, whether or not shalom is docha, all types of lying, all Rabbi Yonah's categories, even Gnei V'Sdas. And also the issue in Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai of preemptive versus not preemptive, way the Kli Yitzchak understood why it is that Beis Shammai was hesitant to allow Sheker V'Kal Nov V'Chasuda. And then in the end, we just mentioned the position of Sefer Chassidim at the Magen Avraham quotes that you're not allowed to lie to avoid giving the guy money because you're only allowed to lie about things in the past, and it's a little bit of a difficult position. And we suggested that maybe the idea is past means things that are set in stone as opposed to things over which you have some control. Okay, we'll stop there. What is the story with the next week?